It's the 40th year that the Jewish people are in the Midbar. After almost four decades of sort of just moving in a holding pattern, going in circles or something of that sort. Finally, in the 40th year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, it's time to start moving. And they go up north and then they return back down south. And they engage in several important battles. Successful battles. They try to engage diplomatically with Edom, Moab, Ammon, that doesn't really go anywhere. They fight against Sichon and Og, who were in the northern half of the eastern bank of the Yarden. They were Canaanite kings. They have the right and responsibility to fight against them, and they take that land. That becomes Avra Yarden. There's also a war against Midian, a very successful war. And the Torah speaks extensively in Parshas Matos about the aftermath of that war. The halachos and the rules, I say halachos and rules, some of them were dinim l'doros, halachos, some of them were haraz shah just for that one encounter, how they should dispose of all of the booty of that successful battle against Midian. And here, the end of the Aliyah of Shlishi of Matos, Perek Lamed Aleph, starting with Pasuk Chav Aleph, Elazar HaKohen says to the, this is way after Aaron HaKohen has passed away, Elazar took his role as a Kohen Gadol, Elazar the second Kohen Gadol in Jewish history, Yomer Elazar HaKohen Anshei Hatzava, Abam LaMelchama, Elazar says to the soldiers, here are the rules. Those chukas haTorah sheTziva Hashem es Moshe. I'm going to tell you the dinim that Ribono Shel Olam taught Moshe Rabbeinu. Achas hazav es hakestef es hanechoshes es habarzel es habedil es haforas. The gold, the silver, the copper, the iron, the tin, the lead. Kol davar sheavo ba'esh tarviu ba'esh v'toher. Anything which goes through fire, you need to put it through fire v'toher. And it will be tar, or it will be made tar. Ach v'mei nida yischata. It needs to go through mei nida. Nida water. What that means is a good question. Rashi points out, pshuto, nida here means, it's like a, almost like an Aramaic, where a zayin could end up being a dalid. This is mei haza'a. This is the sprinkling of para aduma water. If these things were in battle, they may have become tamil ames. So you have to, both people and kalim require a 7-day period during which you have two sprinklings of the para aduma water on day 3 and day 7 in order to remove tamas mes. But the language may need this as awkward, and we're going to see soon that the Gemara understands an additional level of interpretation from this may need. Whoever does not go through fire, Ta'aviru b'mayim v'taher. Then you have to put it through water. Those are the instructions. So what does this mean? They want with the turn to the final Mishnah Maseches of Avodah Zarah. We had spent time in the second paragraph of Avodah Zarah, the halachas of Bishul Akum. You're in the final Mishnah of Maseches of Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah lays out, Lokech klei tashrish min ha'ovdei kochavim, or min ha'goyim. I buy clay tashmish, usable tools, as we'll see. I mean specifically usable in a food context. So I buy food utensils from a non-Jew. So what do you do with it? I get it. I buy it. Eis shedarko lahatzbil yatzbil. Something which typically would be immersed in water, you have to immerse it in water. Lahagil. If it's the sort of thing that would be going through hot water, a pot, a ladle, yagil, then you have to pass it through hot water. That's what we call hagala. That's the way you're going to kasher it. If we're imagining it's a used kli, I'm buying a used kli from a non-Jew, so something may have been used. So if it's the sort of thing that just would be dipped in cold water, I have to dip it lahatbil. Rashi says, Kli haroi li taher b'tfila, Kli that would become tar through tfila, ein tarach tikun acher, doesn't need any other fix. Kli she tashmish al yitzoni, you have a Kli that you only use for cold things, a salad bowl, a fruit bowl. It wouldn't be used with hot stuff, so it wouldn't have absorbed any tray for bliya. For yatpil, you have to be matpil, this is Rashi on the Mishnah, yatpil v'sulotzar, just be tovel it, and that's it. If it's the sort of thing you use with hot, l'hagil, Rashi's b'mayim roschim, something we use with hot water, like klisha tashmish l'bekach, something that's typically used that way, yoros u'kederishol matechas, I have metal pots, so then, yagil, then you have to kasha, Rashi says, u'v'gemar mefarish deboi nami tefillah. The Gemara will explain that means you have to lahagil in addition to tefillah. I have to kasher it, I have to remove the tray for blias, the tray for flavor that is absorbed into the wall of the pot through its having been used in the past with hot tarfas. I have to remove that with hagala. I have to dunk it into boiling hot water, and then subsequently I'm going to have to tovel as well. And finally, level three, lilabein ba'ur, the sort of thing that might have been gone through dry heat, yilabein ba'ur, I have to do the higher level of kashrin called libun. I have to pass it through dry heat, I have to get it up to 800-900 degrees. For instance, the Mishnah says, hashpud v'ha'askala malabden ba'ur. If I have a spit, or I have a grill top, I have a spit that I would turn a whole animal on, or let's say a smaller version, I have kebab skewers that I would grill stuff on, or you have that's the shvud. The askala is the top of the grill, where you would put meat, you put fish, whatever you put on your barbecue. Milabnan board, you want to make that kosher, you have to throw it into a self-clean oven, or otherwise get it up to 800-900 degrees. You get it to lilabain, you get it to glow in the fire, and then it's kosher. And then the Mishnah says, "Hasakin shafa v'hitahor." If you have a knife, so sometimes all you need to do is sharpen it, polish it down, remove a layer, outer layer. You clean off the surface, and that will make it kosher. So that's the Mishnah. The Gemara right away says what the Rashi told us to expect. Tana v'chulan trichin tefila bar boemsa. They all, just to clarify, all of them need tefillah in a mikvah of arba emsa. All of them need to, you're going to kasher, in a case where you bought used kalim from the nachri, so you need to remove the tray for blias, but that's not enough, you have to remove the tray for blias, so you make it kosher, then also you're going to have to tovel the mikvah, which already gets us thinking, this is interesting, meaning tefillah b'mikvah is not about kashrus. Because they're two separate things. You have to do, if it's used kli again from a non-Jew, or for that matter from a Jew who was not careful with kashrus, or just accidentally made a treif, be that as it may, on purpose, by accident, whatever it is, if I have a kli that has absorbed treif of flavors, by hook or by crook, I need to do heksher, I need to do either haga'ala or libun, depending on how the flavor got absorbed, kibolo kachpolto, wherever the flavor went in, that's going to determine how I get the flavor out. If it was a minor blia, it just went in through wet heat, so then it's enough to do hagala, to put it into boiling hot water to remove the flavor. If it went in more deeply through dry heat, so then I'm going to need to the higher level of kasher, you need to do libun in order to get the flavor out. But that's step one. In cases there's tarfus in it, I'm going to need to remove it through kashering. But that's not enough. I also, even after it's kosher, I need to tovel in a mikvah. So Rashi Gemara says, well, where did that come from? Minoan imili. Minoan imili, the Gemara Rava says, it's our pasuk, we just learned the Parshas Matos. Amakra, Amarava, Amakra. Here are three lines into the Gemara. Ayin hey, I'm in Beis Masechet Avodah Zarah. Kol davar shevo ba'esh, avir ba'esh v'toher. That pasuk was saying, the pasuk we were looking at was saying, did it go through Eish? Did it go through Mayim? That's the source, presumably in Chumash, for this notion of kibolo kachpolto, that how you remove the blia, how you extract the tray for blia, depends on how the tray for blia went in. And the Torah says, if it went in through Eish, you have to remove it through Eish, v'taher. So what's that, v'taher? Hosif l'cha akasa, it doesn't just mean it is tahar, at least out there of Jerash, hosif l'cha akasa of tahara acheres. The Torah is telling me there's another tahara process, there's another tahara activity. you have to kosher it, and then the tahir, not it will be tahir, but then you have to make it tahir. So what's this other making it tahir? It's already kosher. I mean, that's tefillah b'mikvah. Tani bar kapara. Bar kapara said over b'raisa. B'tok shenemar b'mei nida, that we saw in the pasuk, that ach b'mei nida is chata. So what does that mean? Shamei ani shetar chazar shlishi shvi. I might think that every time you buy something for the non-Jew, you have to sprinkle it with mei para aduma. Maybe that's what the Torah is driving at. Tamilomar ach chilek. Ach is a miut. But you don't need a full made of the not the most robust sense of may need the as mamish hazah shlishi or shvi for the para aduma water. It means the other sense of may need the, which is as the Gemara goes on to say. The other sense of may nida is the same sort of water that a human nida, a woman who is a nida, would use to become a non-nida. What did she tovel in? Have you omer arbaam sa? Have you omer arbaam sa? The Gemara goes on to say you have these two drushes together that tell me you need full tefillah and a full-size mikvah. It can't just be a little revius, it has to be a full 40 sa'ah. But as soon as you have the full 40 sa'ah, that works right away. You don't need power of shemesh. If a person or a kli is taken to mikveh because it's tameh, so tevila alone never does the trick. You always need tevila, at least tevila followed by power of shemesh. And you go to mikveh, so then you're less tameh. And but you call it tevul yom, someone who went to mikveh today, the person or the kli. And then when tzeis hakochavim comes, that typically, there are exceptions, that typically completes the tahara process. So when you go to mikveh to become tahar from a tumah, it's part of dunking the mikveh, the tevila b'mikveh, is the first step of a two-step tahara process. Tevila and harav shemesh. Tevila and the following tzeis hakochavim. Those who have learned Maseches Brachos, or at least the first Mishnah, if you got as far in learning Mishnah, he says the first Mishnah Shas, he came across that the Kohanim would go to mikveh, but then Tzeis HaKochavim is when they could actually eat, teruma. So that's what the Gemara says, you need a full-size mikveh, but you don't need Harav Shemesh. Tosus makes an important point. Tosus says, it could be that min haTorah, Mayim Shanid HaTovels Ben. Afogav Derevius Sagi, when you talk about a mikveh to become tahar, so the din is a person needs 40 sa'ah, but a kli min haTorah, a kli does not need a 40 sa'ah mikveh. Mikveh around yay large. 40 sa'ah is a 3 amas by 1 amma by 1 amma, around this big. So that's required min haTorah for a human being going to mikveh, but min haTorah is not required for a kli going to mikveh. Min haTorah, it can even be a revius. Now, depends what year that you're told. Revius is very small. Practically speaking, the kli has to fit. But that's what Tosfos says, for machtin v'tzinorios, if I had a needle that I was toveling, or a small tube, a metal straw that I was toveling, it could fit inside a little revius. So strictly speaking, min haTorah, I can make the needle became tameh, I can make the needle tahar, min haTorah, by putting it into a mikveh of arbam. So, Tosfos says, "Hainid." The Gemara here says it's Mayim Shahanida Tovels Ben, the sort of water that a person would be Tovel Anida. So that's 40 Sa'ah. So Tosfos says, "You're right that Min haTorah I can make a Tame needle Tahar. I can make a Tame spoon Tahar by using a very small mikveh. The Hainu Tevilas Tuma. That's Tevila from Tuma. But Tevilas Klei Midyan to Tovel." The clay midyan, in general, it's a tovel kalim that I got from a non-Jew, chiddushu, uboy mem sa. That's a chiddush. And as such, it requires 40 sa'ah min haTorah. Now, the Gemara said we 40 sa'ah, and it's not tevilas tumah. And that's why on the one hand, we have a chumrah, that even min haTorah require 40 sa'ah. On the other hand, we have a kula, that you do not require harav shemesh. If you go to the store, and you buy a set of cutlery, you go to the store, you buy a frying pan, and you take it to mikveh. As soon as it comes out of the mikveh, you can immediately use it to fry salami and eggs. You don't have to say, I took it to mikveh, I have to wait until tonight. No, harav shemesh is only a concept by tumah. This isn't tefilas tumah. both Lahakel and Lahachamir is not Tefillas Tuma. It's a Chiddush. What do you mean it's a Chiddush? So we use the term Chiddush loosely. It's a Chiddush, no idea. Right? Chiddush, Tosfos points out Yevamos, that in the context of Drashas, and the way Chazal used it, Chiddush means it's similar, not exactly the same, it's a Yotze Min HaKlal. It's an exception to the rule. Meaning, what I mean that the Tefillas Chay Midyan is a Chiddush. Number we see, it is an exception to the rule. It requires a full 40 Min HaTorah, even though it's for Kalim. On the other hand, you don't require Har of Shemesh. And the fact that it breaks the rules indicates it's a different type of concept. That indicates that what? That what this isn't about removing Tumah. That's not what this Tevilah is about. It isn't about removing Treifus, and it's not about removing Tumah. So what Taka is it? So that's what the Darkei Moshe quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah, who in turn is quoting, Yerushalmi. He says, this is not, we think of Tevilah as going to Mikveh as a way of removing Tumah, removing a status. But this is not the only, but he says, the Yerushalmi says, this is not removing anything. There's no Tumah that you're removing. There's no Tarfus necessarily that you're removing. The Gemara is going to talk about that in a moment more, that it's not about removing Tarfus. We already saw, right? You have to, even after your Kasha, you already have to Tovel again. So what is it? Yerushalmi says, well, a Ger goes to Mikveh. A non-Jew wants to become a Ger. Prospective Ger goes to Mikveh as part of the process of becoming a Ger. He's not Tamei. Min HaTorah, non-Jews actually cannot become Tumah. I've said in the past, many times in the past, right? Four categories of things in the world that can kabel Tumah. Adam, Kalim, Ophel, and Mashik. Min HaTorah, each one has specific details. Min HaTorah, the only sort of person that can kabel Tumah is a Jew. The whole notion of Tumah for a non-Jew is only Midrabanan. So why is the Ger going to Mikveh? We know for sure, Min HaTorah, he is Tahar. What's he going to Mikveh for? As Yerushalmi says. Or let's throw another example. Kongol Yom Kippur. Just learned about yesterday. He goes to Mikveh again and again and again. Five tefillas. What's he going to Mikveh for? He's super tahar. He spent a week making sure that he's tahar. As a matter of fact, if he's Tameh, we just spoke a moment ago about the Har of Shemesh. If the Kongol Taka became Tameh, going to Mikveh is not really going to help him. Because he won't be tahar again until... If you go to Mikveh right now, at 6 in the morning, he's not going to be tahar until Tzitzak Kochavim. We're going to have to bring in the backup, Skan Kongal, to take over for Avos Yom Kippur. So what's he going to the mikveh for? L'man ma. So you see that tevila is often a tevila ha-mitaheres. Often tevila is meant to remove something, remove a negative status, but sometimes it's not about removing tumah, it's a tevila ha-mikadeshes. Sometimes tevila can be a way of infusing kedusha. Whether it's a non-Jew who goes to mikveh to become endowed with Kedusha Yisrael, or whether it's a Kohen Gadol who's adding to his level of Kedusha through the Tevila as he switches back and forth between the Big Day Zahav and the Big Day Lavan and back again. So that's what seems to be going on here as well. That's Yerushalmi, that's Rabbeinu Yonah quotes, Darkei Moshe quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, B'Shem Yerushalmi, Darkei Moshe again is the Ramaz running commentary on the tour. The Shulchan Aruch wrote the Beis Yosef from the Torah. Rama wrote the Darkei Moshe. And there was Moshe, Rabbeinu Moshe Isselus, Krakow. He wrote the Darkei Moshe on the Torah. So he quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah, B'Shem Yerushalmi, that this is like a Tevila Sager. It's a fascinating notion. It's like your pots and pans need to be Jewish. Your forks and knives need to be Jewish. We talked this morning about Kedusha in eating. It's a powerful notion. The way I eat, I have to eat Jewishly. But it's Kedusha through the cutlery. It's not that the cutlery is tray. If it's tray, if you have to kasher it. And if the Gemara says later, we would actually, as someone showed him stresses, sounds like we would actually want to kasher first. And then Tovel. That may flow from this idea. Let's first get rid of all the tarfus. And then, now that it's kosher, now we're going to endow it with Kedusha. That's what the Gemara goes on to say as it gets into the dinim of which kalim require, as usual, the dinim of tefillas kalim break down into chefza and maisa. Which kalim require tefillah, and how do you do a maisa tefillah? So we already began talking a little bit about the maisa tefillah, that you need to have mem sa'ah even min ha-Torah, full-size mikveh even min ha-Torah, the same sort of mikveh that you would use for a person who's tameh. By the way, that means that if you sometimes you have men's mikvaos, a men's mikvah usually means that it's not a mikvah that works min haTorah. The mikvah just speaks to the notion of Takanas Ezra. So a men's mikvah, sometimes you have a men's mikvah which is mamash really kosher mikvah min haRaisa, but usually that is not the case, because a mikvah in the shtibul is a mikvah to fulfill that concept of Takanas Ezra, to go to mikvah in between becoming a balkari and learning and davening. But that's not typically the mikvah in Veen, the mikvah in Vishnitz, is probably not, for men, it's probably not a kosher mikvah. Mikvah for women, that's a really kosher mikvah. And that's why often, the women's mikvah, there'll be another side of the same building, there'll be a kehil mikvah attached. Because the women's mikvah is actually a real, fully, minat Torah, midrabban, the works, a fully kosher mikvah. So oftentimes for privacy, they'll have the kehil mikvah on a different side of the building. But that's has to be a truly kosher mikvah. Now the Gemara is going to begin to talk, so, and then we'll take questions in a moment. But I see the first movement, when the Gemara begins to talk which kelim require tefillah, actually intertwines with the issues we were just talking about. So let's take a look at the first couple lines, and we'd love to stop for questions. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua. Rav Nachman quotes the name Rabba Ravua. And the little letter Ches. Couple lines down, I name days. Afilu kelim chadashim b'mashma, even new kelim, meaning even if a kelim were never used, a non-Jew manufactures kelim, or the non-Jew bought new kelim and is reselling. So I bought kelim from a non-Jew. They weren't used. You got a tov of them. Why? He says, Zaha. How do I know? The psukim we're talking about used, right? You have to do libun and also v'tahir. Okay, so that's the case where it's used. Okay, so there was already more of an impact of the nachri on the kli. So I understand you have to tovel it. But if it's absolutely new, he owned it. So who says you have to tovel? He says, I'll bring you a raya. The hayishanim v'libnon kachadashim damu. If they were old, I mean if they were used, and then I was malabing them, went through dry heat, he did libun. So that's kachadashim done. It's the same. It's as good as new. It's something that we touched on before Pesach. Hagaola removes the tray for blias, but libun is like incinerates the blias on the spot. So that, and if you actually do, if you I never had this chus, but if you do like old style libun, like with coals, and you actually see it, you do it in a self clean oven, you don't get to watch it. But if you're actually watching libun happen, and apparently it often looks, especially if you're doing cast iron, like it looks like there are layers of metal coming off. It's apparently a dramatic scene. It's mamish kachadashim. It's like literally part of chadashim's ba'olokan. It's as good as new. So if you told me after hagallah, after putting in boiling water, you have to do tefillah mikvah, okay. But you say after doing libun, it's no different than new. It's like a new lease on life. And still you have to do tefillah. So if you have to do tefillah after doing libun, who had the nami, you have to do tefillah if it was never used at all. But Rav Shesha says, I have a problem with that. A logical problem. What's a logical problem? He says, Mela. He says, if so, how about totaling my bike? I have to total a bike? He doesn't say a bike. He says something else. I must go to Rav Shesha, but the same idea. Ehachi, afilu zuza de sarbul anami. So how about a pair of barber's shears? I'm a Jewish barber. And I bought my pair of scissors from a non-Jewish supply, barber supply. So I dropped a tovel that. I said, well, that sounds like a strange idea. So what's Rosh Hashanah driving at? So that has nothing to do, we would say, that has nothing to do with food. She said, yeah, but who says anything about food? Nay, look, you say something used to be trade and now it became kosher. Okay. So that's why it's only food, because the point is, it's something with a history of tarifas. But once you're telling me that even without any history of tarfas, you still have to tovel, so then what's the difference between a new pan, new frying pan? Or let's put it differently, what's the difference between a new pair of chicken shears and a new pair of barber shears? It's a kli. I bought it from the guy, it's a kli, tovel it. It sounds absurd. So the Rosh Hashanah says, exactly. So that's raya, that it's only food because what? Because it's only if there was a history of tarfas. You have to kasher and you have to tovel. But how could you tell me, Rav Nachman, that even that's Rosh Hashanah of Nachman contemporaries, says, how could you tell me that a never used pot, a never used fork, needs tefillah? So Rav Sheshe says, no. Nachman responds, no, amalei de l'ler. Test, kalei su'uda amurin b'parsha. No. It's not about, it doesn't have to have had a history of parfas, but that parsha in the Torah that we were reading in Matos is talking specifically about kalei su'uda. It's talking about things that are used for the sort of tools that are used for food. The function of the tool has to be a food function. Right, I mean, right al adavar, that's what we're talking about. Again, I mentioned before, the Torah talks about other things also. Other people and things, different categories the Torah is talking about. What to do, and how to deal with the aftermath of the war with Midian. That particular paragraph in Chumash is clearly talking about clay su'udah. How do you know? How do you know they were talking about clay su'udah? You just said the gold, I mean, it's clearly talking about metal. How do you know it's talking about clay su'udah? Maybe it was talking about the bikes and the barber shears and the pogo sticks. How do you know it's talking about clay suda? What's the raya? Well, maybe. So, no, Rashi says, well, we talk called the varshu of obeish. So, things that go through fire go through water. What metal kli goes through fire? Maybe you have blacksmithing tools, but the vast majority of metal tools that go into a fire are being used for food. The fire is there because you're making food, as Rashi says. And then I think the Rashba says, we're talking about kashering them. So some of the dina may apply even if you're not kashering, but it seems like if we're talking about these are things you're likely to have to kasher, don't you see that we're talking about food tools? So that becomes the first major criterion. There are more, which we'll get to next time. The first major criterion in terms of what requires tefillah is only to require tefillah if it's kalei se'udah. If the function of this kli is food related. We'll get to Shulchan to see more details. Do you mean eating food? Do you mean making food? Do you mean storing food? Do you mean can openers? What is that? We have to obviously work out the details, but in terms of the big picture, the rule number one is it has to fit the function that Torah has in mind, and that is kalei se'udah. There were questions from before, probably a question about this also. Yes. Right.
So can I then, without kashering it, can I use it to open letters, let's say, if it's not for food? Am I allowed to still use it, a non...
Yeah, that's not a tefillas kalim question. That's not a simon kuf chaf question. That's a simon kuf chaf alav question. But if there happens to be, the answer is yes, if you make sure that you're going to avoid michshol.
So that's what I was going to say, is that maybe that could be another sort of thing, what else are you doing? Why do you need
Correct. Right. So you're saying, right, you're essentially saying what the Rashba says. Why are you koshering it unless it's a food related?
No, I'm saying, because I can think of many things, especially in that time when they were using fires for warmth. You know, everyone had something to poke the fire with, whatever.
Yeah, poker.
So I can imagine other things that you put through fire besides, just, but you don't need that to be koshered. You don't need the.
Correct. You wouldn't need to kosher. Right. Correct. You're lending strength to the Rashba. Right. It does come up sometimes, especially in ceramic cannot be koshered. Sometimes people have a mug that becomes treif. They forgot whether the milk or flesh. Someone used it for the wrong. So sometimes I tell people is if you have sentimental, you can't use it. You can't use it for food. But sometimes people with a sentimental value, they say if you leave a post-it inside that says treif, keep it on the if you want to keep it on the shelf because it looks pretty. Cause it's part of a set. But you leave a note inside, or maybe even bury right with a Sharpie. This mug is treif. But that may ruin the. But actually, leave it inside. No one sees it. And if anyone actually wants to use it, they'll notice. You look inside. You see this mug is treif. Unless, of course, if the guy doesn't even look inside, just fills it with coffee, and then you get to the bottom.
Halfway through.
You get to the bottom.
Tea. Ooh, it's a surprise.
Yes. Obviously, you have to. Maybe a piece of paper is better. Yeah.
Elazar explains basically to the people of the army, and they're talking about metal stuff. Like, why can't that be weapons and whatever, which are made with fire?
Maybe. So that again. Well, so that again. So you're taking another twist on what Yossi was saying in terms of how it's easier to understand the Rashba's approach than Rashi's approach. Now, it's not just that it was Baba Esh, but because maybe you could have said Baba Esh means it was made in fire, although all metal was probably made in fire.
Yeah, it's called Dover Shayobo.
Not everything is babesh. There's a thing that's a loyal babesh. Then it's just tavir b'mayim. So I would say if you're talking manufacture, the question is whether any metal kalim that were made without fire, I'm not sure about ancient goldsmithing, maybe. But essentially, you're explaining the strength of the Rajba's approach. Rajba's not just about the fact that it's babesh. If you tell me I'm going to kasher it now, there's no reason I would be kashering gold earrings or a silver ring, but there is a reason I would be kashering a golden serving plate. Maybe, yeah.
Going back to the Gary's
Mikvah. Yeah.
So if he's going in, still goes to Mikvah. So why? It's kind of a weird question, but why does a baby have his breasts going to Mikvah?
Because he's born, because a Jew, if you're born to a Jewish mother, so you're already born with Kedushas Yisrael. But the non-Jew was not born with Kedushas Yisrael. So he's taking it on now. So the Tefillah B'Mikvah helps him, part of the process of bringing in, creating this new Kedushas Yisrael within this person, who had formerly not had Kedushas Yisrael.
For a boy, that takes a process. He's not born.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. What the role of, whether Mila has a role in it completing the Kedushas Yisrael of a Jewish male is a good question. But either way, what the Tefillah adds to a ger, a born Jew is born with. So that piece he already has, and but if someone was born non-Jewish and he's opting in, so he needs a tefillah to bring that piece in.